preacher hit on some scripture this a few weeks ago, last week maybe, I can't remember the exact day, but God spoke to my heart about some things. I've had some thought on some things regarding some of these scripture, and I pray the Lord help me tonight. Before I read, I do want to pray, so let's pray. Father, tonight I thank you, dear God, for your grace and mercy. Thank you for being so good to us and helping us tonight. I thank you, God, for your touch on my heart, Lord, just helping me. You know how weak and feeble I am, and Lord, that I'm nervous. I pray, God, you, Lord, give me strength. I need your touch. Give me a clarity of mind, I pray. Pray, God, you might, Lord, touch my heart tonight. Lord, help me to convey what you've shown me. I pray, God, that you might, Lord, uplift your word tonight to these that are here. I pray, God, you help them to hear and help them to be encouraged, Lord, or whatever the need is in their heart. I pray, God, you do a work. I thank you, Lord, for meeting with us thus far, touching my heart. I thank you for being so good to us, Lord, for hedging us and bringing us back. Lord, please, Lord, remember our pastor. And I thank you, God, for being so good to us. For it is in Jesus' name, amen. Here in Exodus chapter number 12, I begin reading verse number 1. As the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to his house, or according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. For the lamb, or your lamb, shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. If you go on down to verse number 12, it says, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I really want to bring forth a thought, if the Lord help me tonight, just concerning the application of the blood, or the blood must be applied. If you look down in chapter 12 and verse number 21, it says, Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. The idea that the blood must be applied. Now, there's some things we've heard preached on numerous occasions. There's some things that must come to pass. You must be born again. And whenever God says that there's some things that has to happen, that must happen, there's no way around it. It has to be this way in order for these things to come to pass. In other words, whenever he said you must be born again, that's a picture there that the blood must be applied to your life, that you have to have a new life, a new birth, and it's got to happen. Amen. And in this case here, the Egyptians, they've got their hands upon the Israelites. They're in servitude, or they're in bondage to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians have had them under bondage for 400 some odd years, And they've been crying unto God, and God sent them Moses, and He's brought all these plagues to come to pass and some things. And they've shown His power, shown what God can do. And now it's come to pass that judgment's coming. Amen. I'm telling you, in my life, I can't help but look at this right here and see a picture of my life. And the blood had to be applied to the sideposts and the lintel of the of their dwelling place. Amen. And I don't know about you, but if you think about that, I'm talking about the inward man, about the dwelling place of the inward man. That doorway, if you think about it in the right way, that's a doorway of the heart in one way, if you want to think about it. If you can look at it that way, or doorway to the man's soul. And the blood must be applied in each and every individual. Amen. And I can't help but think about whenever the blood was applied to my life. I think about that and how God showed me the judgment that was to come. They've got an understanding that judgment is coming, amen. And there's going to be some weeping and gnashing of teeth. That there's going to be some consequences of not being able to follow God's command and putting the blood on the doorpost. There's going to be some death wrapped up in this, amen. And if you think about that in this day, there's not really a lot of that preached in this day anymore. The blood. I mean, we got to sing about them songs, Reverend. That's just something God had on my heart all day. You know, when I see the blood and these things like that, that just come to my mind. I'll be just walking through work and come to my mind. But the thing about it is, that's the reality of it. Whenever God looks at me, He sees His Son, not because of who I am or anything, but the blood has been applied to me. And whenever He sees me, He sees the blood of Christ. He sees the sacrifice that was given out on Calvary's tree, the blood that was poured out. And whenever He gave every last drop, I believe that out on Calvary's tree. Whenever He done that, the blood was applied to me. He died for me. He is our Lamb. Amen. You know, we talk about that, right? We see that right there. And that's really where I want to get here. I want you to see Him as the Lamb. Because that's what He is. He's our Lamb. He's our Lamb. He's the one that come out from of heaven and come down into the lowly form that He was. And if you think about it, and the Scripture, that all makes sure. It all comes together. It meshes together. What God had did back there, what He's doing in time to come, it just falls together. I'm grateful God sent a son, God sent His Son to die for me. And I'm going to show you in Scripture, Lord, help me on He is our Lamb. He is our propitiation. I like that. I've heard that word on numerous occasions, but I never really knew the actual definition. I had an understanding to a small degree, but I really never knew in definition. This is the act of appeasing wrath, conciliating the favor of an offended person. Also, the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God. Whenever sin come into this world, there had to be an atonement. Whenever Adam sinned against God, there's got to be some kind of way that we can fellowship and commune with God. There's got to be a way back, and the only way back was made out on Calvary's tree, that we might have fellowship with God. Whenever if you look at it in the Scripture there, we're talking about the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Hey, the door's been opened that we might have that. We might have that atonement. We might have the appeasing power. That sacrifice has been given. Hey, and it's been given out on Calvary's tree for us. The blood has been given that we might have an application in our life. The Lamb has been slain. The Lamb has been crucified. The Lamb has been offered. Let's look over here in Isaiah chapter number 53 real quick. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Hey, that's judgment there. Hey, I'm telling you, the wrath of God was poured out on him, but on my account, amen. And with his stripes we are healed. It's what he did. It's what's done out on Calvary. It's the sacrifice that he gave. It has nothing to do with me. I'm glad of that because I'm not worth anything. I'm not. I really ain't. But he's worth it all. He's worthy of all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. There's that lamb without spot, without blemish, amen. He's perfect. There's nothing in him. There's no guile in him. There's nothing wrong with him, amen. He's perfect. He's all that God requires, amen. He's all the thing that's everything that's needed right there. He's a paid in full price, all in one package, complete. And he's right there, amen. That's what it means. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Hey, the Lord's satisfied, amen. That's something, if you think about it, whenever he sees Christ, whenever he sees the blood applied, he is satisfied, amen. That's what he talks about whenever he takes the blood and is applied to the lintel and the two side posts of the door, and whenever he passes over, he sees that and he's satisfied. Everything is as it should be. Everything is perfect. It's as he commanded, and it's as it should be. He's satisfied. I'm glad of that, amen. I'm glad whenever he sees me, he sees satisfaction, amen. He's not satisfied in Christopher Messick, but he's satisfied in what his son did out on Calvary. He's satisfied in the fact that the blood's been applied to my life and in your life, amen. And if you've got the blood applied to your life, you can honestly say, thank you, God, for passing over me. We're living in a day when judgment's coming. Our pastor preaches it quite often, more so now than what he has in times past. And it's getting ever more prevalent. We need it in this day. We need to understand and know that judgment is coming. Whenever Moses stood up, he's a man of God. If you're looking at it in the context of your chosen man of God, a sent man of God, a man that stands behind the pulpit is a chosen man. He's a sent man. And whenever he stands back here and he tells you, hey, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. You better get ready. The blood must be applied. Well, you must be born again. I'm telling you, you better give ear and you better hearken to what he says. We all understand and know what transpired in Egypt that night. We understand and know what happened the very next day. There was a great wailing and weeping and whatnot in the land of Egypt that day. The firstborns, and it's of man and beast. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to put you out, no one is exempt, amen? Even the children of Israel, if they didn't follow the command of God, they would still fall under that same kind of judgment. They would still, regardless of, just because I'm a child of the king, I'm a child born from Abraham's seed, I'm an Israelite, doesn't matter, the blood still had to be applied. No one is exempt, man or beast. Lord, help me today. I'm telling you, no one is exempt from judgment. Amen. I like the fact that nobody is, because it puts us all on the same playing field. It don't mean nobody's greater or lower. It don't mean anything. It just means that we must be born again. Amen. That's pure and simple. Whenever Christ was asked that question, who's the greatest among us? Hey, he didn't put somebody else on a pedestal out there, did he? But hey, it puts us all on an equal playing field. We're all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. We all have transgressed. We're all in that weak and Adamic flesh. Right. It's what we are. I've heard people say that, well, I'm not as bad. I mean, I understand that in our weak and feeble mind, we try to reason that, well, I'm not as bad as that person over there. Don't matter. The blood must be applied. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not one out there a drunkard. I'm not one out there listening after my neighbor's stuff. Look at that rich man. He went out there to Christ and he said, what must I do to be saved? Did you keep the commandments? I've done that since my youth. Well, all right. Sell all you have and come to follow me. Couldn't do it. He didn't have the understanding that the blood must be applied. He still wanted to hold on to everything else in the world. All this other stuff's going to save me. All this other stuff, all these things is going to keep me. But I want to be saved. I want the blood applied. I want this and I want that. Hey, well, I'm telling you now, hey, you look at it this way. Look, God told him not to come out of the house. Moses gave the instruction not to come out of the house. That means you're going to have to be locked in. That means you're going to have to be isolated. That means you're going to have to be sanctified. That's a picture of sanctification, if you will. I'm not saying you're not going to have some run-in with the world. It doesn't mean you're not going to be able to hear the weeping, the wailing, and gnashing of teeth and things like that out in the world. That don't mean you're not going to be able to hear people screaming and hollering out there in Egypt. But that means there's got to be some kind of separation. That means there's got to be some kind of cutoff point. You've got to be sanctified, set apart, and shut in. You've got to be separated. You've got to be sanctified. You must have the blood applied to forego judgment for God to pass over you. I said I was going to show you how he's a lamb. Let's keep on going here. I don't want to get caught up. I know he's got school and work and all these other things. Amen. Look at Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood. Hey, there it is again. By His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Catch that? His blood. In order for the blood to be given, what would He have to be? What was He? In order for the blood to appease the God of heaven, in order for the blood to meet the requirements that God had laid out, what was the requirement? He had to be a lamb. And if His blood satisfies and saves, that means He's a lamb. Let's keep on going. Let's actually look and see what else is out there. First John chapter 2, verse number 2. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. The definition I gave you a while ago, He is the propitiation for our sins. That is the act of appeasing wrath and consolating the favor of an offended person. Also the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God. What was the sacrifice commanded in the book there that I read to you over in Exodus chapter 12? He was to be offered a lamb. You can find another places too where it talks about He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Just to put it in context, straightforward, and what it is. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. I believe it's over in Revelation. I believe it's either chapter 12 or chapter 13, I believe it is. But I'm telling you, He is our lamb. Hey, if you see Him as our lamb, if you see that you've been saved, if the blood's been applied,
You don't have to be one of them ones out there weeping and in that situation weeping and gnashing your teeth. You lost your loved ones. You're in the midst of death, and death has taken residence in your household. That's really what it means right there. If you look at it in the context of the death has taken root in your home. Death is in your home. Wherein, if you've had the blood applied, then life is in your home. Life is in you. You ever thought about that? The blood applied? Right there, life is in the house. Amen. I got life inside. There's life inside of me. Amen. I can't help but understand and think in my own mind, hey, what would have been going on in that day? That people would be waking up in the morning and hearing screaming and hollering and crying and weeping. I can't help but understand and wonder in my mind, what were people thinking? But what they're sitting there thinking, like, thank you, God, judgment passed over me. We don't act like that in our churches today. We sang that song, and I'm telling you, some of us look like we're dragging our lips across the car, but you know, the old pass over me. Come on, people, we've been redeemed. Those that have got the blood applied, if you ain't got the blood applied, you can have it applied, amen. It's not something that we can do ourselves. But the offering's been made. It's a free gift of God. But you got to see Him as who He is. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is the pure and undefiled sacrifice without blemish and without spot. He is what He is, and you got to see Him for what He is in order for you to take part of that blood on the sidepost there. The blood, to have that application, you got to see Him for what He is. That's pure and simple in reality, although in reality it really is hard. Because I don't know about you, but I'm stubborn. I don't like to listen to people. I don't like to have... It's not that I don't like it. I mean, I'm just like, I'm bullheaded. Sometimes I'm like, I ain't going to do that. You know, my warranty manual on my truck tells me if I don't change my oil, I'm going to have a bad day one day soon. You never know when that's going to be. You know, what I'm getting at is the fact is we don't know what the future holds. If God is speaking to your heart, I ask you, I implore you, I urge you to make a move. Whether it be something you gotten away from God, whether God's talking to you saying, hey, the blood has not been applied, you're not sanctified. Whatever that is. I want God in this day. I don't know about you, but I want to feel His touch. I want His presence. I want to feel Him near me and with me. We ain't got it like we used to, people. Amen. Our shout, man, we've lost our shout. Amen. No, we don't look at Him like He really is. He's the Lamb. He has in Him no guile. There's nothing wrong with Him. He's perfect. We have the one that makes intercession for us to the God of heaven, the one who created all things. He is the He's God incarnate. It is what it is, amen. God's been so good to us. He's given us so much, and He's done so much for us, and that He sent His Son to be a lamb, to be a sacrifice, to be an atonement for sin, to be a payment that God would be pleased. That whenever He would see me, He would be satisfied. Amen. That's something good right there, amen. God's been so good to us tonight. If we just think about that tonight, just see Him as He is. I want to encourage you to do that. Even if it's not here, if you go home and you meditate on some things, I don't know about you, but I have a bad tendency to go home, pick up my tablet, and start just reading things. You know what? I keep a little King James Bible in my desk drawer at work. It's been neglected. Just being honest. I mean, it's wore out. Don't get me wrong. I've wore the thing out. But the thing about it is, I've lost sight of who He is. I've gotten my eyes on everything else. I've gotten so wrapped up in everything else, I've forgotten who He is and what He's done for me. And that's a tactic that's been used so long now. God's not telling you these things. You can be a God. Get your eyes. No, I'm over here. It's the same lie. It's the same thing.
God don't want you to do these things. That's the same lie that's been told,
just in a different way. See him as he is tonight. I thank God for being so good to me. I understand enough. I don't really have any indication of how long it was. But I understand and know God saved me. The blood is applied. I want to continue to see Him as the Lamb. I want to continue to see Him as my Savior, the one who keeps me, the one who sanctified me. And when the day comes, when judgment day comes, He will pass over me. Our Father, tonight I thank You, God, for Your grace and mercy. I thank You, Lord, for reminding me, Lord, exactly who You are and what You are, Lord, that You are our supreme sacrifice. You've made payment for sin, dear God. I thank You for being so good to us. I thank You, Lord, that the Word of God is as plain as day states it, Lord, that He is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, dear God. I thank You for that. I pray, God, that You please help us tonight to meditate on this tonight as we go our way. I pray, Father, tonight that You please, Lord, remember our pastor as he's away. I ask You, Father, that You please, Lord, help him and encourage his heart. I pray, God, give him safe passage, Lord, that he might be coming home. And I pray, Father, Lord, that You please, Lord, be pleased in what's said and done tonight. I pray, Father, also, if there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, never been born again, never had their blood applied, I pray, God, You please, Lord, touch their heart. And, Lord, guide them unto where You'd have them to be, I pray. And I pray, Father, all these things, Lord, that Your name be magnified, that You be glorified, and, Lord, that You'd be pleased. And, Father, we'll thank You, for it is in Jesus' name. Amen.